Happy Pentecost. Today we solemnly end the 50 days of Easter, and Pentecost begins where Easter night left off. The upper room, the place where Christ Jesus instituted four of the sacraments of the church. On Holy Thursday night in the upper room, he instituted the Holy Eucharist together with the priesthood. On Easter Sunday night, he instituted the sacrament of confession. And now on Pentecost, he institutes the sacrament of confirmation. You see, after the Passion of Jesus, the apostles hid in the upper room out of fear for the religious leaders. But after his ascension into heaven, they no longer hide there, but they go there to pray, to await the promise of Jesus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we're told in the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles that they gathered there with Mary, the mother of Jesus. How fitting that the apostles, the first bishops and priests of the church, would be in prayer in the upper room with Our Lady for 9 days. For Mary had already received the Holy Spirit, if you remember, when at the Annunciation, she conceived in her womb the Word of God, Jesus, through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. What Pentecost reveals, brothers and sisters, is that the church is made for mission. The church is made for mission. And what is the mission of the church? It is the glory of God in the salvation of souls. The church is interested in only one thing: to take sinners and make them saints. To apply the blood of Jesus from the cross on the souls of the baptized and to fill them with the Holy Spirit, that they may be made righteous from the inside out by the grace of God. When I was assigned as a deacon at the cathedral in downtown Denver, there was one summer morning when I had finished up my prayers after Mass and I went out onto Colfax Avenue and was greeting some of the homeless and talking to them. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody on the other side of the street shouted, "Hey, Father, there's free Slurpees at 7-Eleven today, because today is 7-Eleven. And oh, that caught my excitement. I ran into the cathedral, I got the staff, and we all walked that block together. We went in to 7-Eleven, we got our Slurpees, and of course I had to get the Sour Patch Kid Slurpee because that's the best. Take my Slurpee, walking the streets of Colfax, and without even thinking, I start shouting to everyone I can see on the other side of the street, on both sides, "Free Slurpees at 7-Eleven, go get them." And everybody's like, "Thank you," and everybody's running. You can see the mob of people. The 7-Eleven people were probably overwhelmed. I hadn't thought about it. It wasn't a calculated proclamation. But I had freely received the good news. And that news couldn't be kept to itself. It had to be shared. How much more, brothers and sisters, do we have good news to be proclaimed and shouted from the rooftop of the Lordship of Christ? People more than ever need to hear the gospel, because the gospel reveals who we are as children of God and who our Father is. The gospel reveals God's love for us and summons all of us to conversion from sin. It summons us to humbly acknowledge that sin offends God and hurts us. But it does more than that. It offers the power of forgiveness of sins through the cross of Christ and through the sacraments of the church. You and I are called to go forth and to share this gospel with others, to proclaim it to strangers even. But how do we do this? We cannot do it with boldness unless we first acquire the Holy Spirit. And that's what today's feast day is about, the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. Look in the scriptures and see how the Spirit can take the timid and the fearful and make them bold. One only has to look to St. Peter in our first reading. He denied Christ before the cross. He hid after the resurrection in fear. But after he had received the Holy Spirit that came down in tongues of fire, he went out and boldly proclaimed the good news. And we're told that over 3,000 people were cut to the heart and were added to the Lord through baptism that very day, through his boldness. St. Paul in the epistle to the Corinthians reminds us that no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Of course, he's not saying that we can't physically say those words. Anybody can read and speak. But he's saying that only through the Holy Spirit can we say those words with faith in our hearts. There's a false quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. I used to love it, but now I can't stand it. And it goes like this: preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Because it seems to be saying that the proclamation of the gospel doesn't take words as much as actions. Now, I'll give it to you. We have to preach with our lives first. There's nothing worse than an evangelist that comes across as a judgmental, grumpy person, right? And we probably have all encountered that. What we need is we need to be confident in the Father's love for us. We need to be confident in God's goodness and in his mercy and in his grace. But there comes a time where we have to use words. And we have to speak Christ's name. Real evangelization means proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus and summoning others into that relationship of love with him. It would be the saddest thing if we truly hold the conviction of Christ's Lordship and the Father's love for us and we kept it for ourselves. It would be the greatest tragedy if we truly believe in the real presence of the Blessed Sacrament on the altar and we didn't have a desire to call all to this holy altar, to be in communion with the body and blood of Christ. Faith summons us to proclamation. And yet, it has to begin in total confidence in the Lord's love for us and in his goodness. I just spent the last 10 days in Winter Park with 40 college students who have dedicated their summer to going throughout the archdiocese as missionaries to hand on the faith to our children through Totus Tuus. What an inspiration that 19, 20, 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds would want to give 3 months of their free time to proclaim the gospel. There are good things happening in the church. The Lord is raising up missionaries constantly. In our own parish this weekend, we launched a new evangelization program called Sent, which is a door-to-door evangelization, where people from our parish community are going out two by two, knocking on doors, and speaking about Christ to others. And yes, we're allowed to do that. It's not just the Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses. And why not? We have the true gospel, the power of Christ and the sacraments. How could we not want to go out and tell our neighbors? And they do it in such a beautiful way. They knock on doors, they ask for prayer requests. Is there something I can pray for you for? They seek opportunities of charitable service. Can I help you with something? In one house, it was simply an elderly woman who needed someone helping them take down her Christmas lights because she couldn't get up on a ladder. And they were there as representatives of the church to do that for her. And then, of course, we open it up for conversation. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? So often, they'll tell the missionaries at the door, "You know, it's funny you came here. I used to be Catholic." There are so many people that say that. "I used to be Catholic." And it gives them an opportunity to ask questions and to have that heart-to-heart conversation. The Lord is calling us to evangelize, however it may be. Maybe it's as simple as asking for prayer requests from people around you. Maybe it's you know that they've left the church, and you can speak into their lives about how you've encountered Christ through the sacraments, what your Catholic faith has meant to you. But whatever it may be, go out boldly, because through your baptism and confirmation, you have already received the Holy Spirit. You just have to let the gift of the Spirit be activated in you. And part of that is stepping out in faith. Mother Angelica said that God will do the miraculous when we're ready to do the ridiculous. Do you have the faith to step out and to trust that if you proclaim the Lordship of Christ like Peter did on the streets of Jerusalem, that perhaps a soul might be added to the Lord? That perhaps the love of God the Father that burns in your heart can burn in their heart too? This is the longing of the heart of Christ. Come, come Holy Spirit. Come Father of the poor. On our dryness, pour your dew. Bend the stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Guide the hearts that go astray. Come, come Holy Spirit, through the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse.